I'd like to welcome you all to Tuesday evenings at the Modern. For anybody who's not aware, this is an ongoing series. We do 10 presentations in the fall and 10 in the spring. They're all free and open to the public. So I know why you're here tonight, but look on the website and see if there is an occasion for you to come back when we start up again in September. We're going out in such, I think, a really lovely fashion with Bay Area artist Barry McGee, whose work is the subject of the museum's current focus exhibition, which was curated by our own Andrea Carnes, and with which I hope you've had an opportunity to spend a great deal of time. If not, it is on view in the last gallery on the first floor through June 2nd. I can't imagine I have to twist your arm to get in there and see it. Tonight feels very right to me as two friends and cohorts, Barry McGee and Bill Daniel, are in conversation about Barry's work as it reflects their shared punk-inspired counterculture backgrounds and their involvement in the culture imagery of what is now known as the Mission School, which was developing in the late 80s when both Bill and Barry lived in the Mission District of San Francisco. The Mission District is a mix of activists, or at the time a mix of activists, warehouseholds, bands, performance artists, film and video makers, and painting students turned graffiti artists. It is where Barry rose to prominence as the graffiti artist known as Twist. Bill Daniel is a self-taught photographer-filmmaker who has worked in the margins between the art world and various underground cultures for 30 years. He has been recognized with an impressive array of exhibitions and honors, including awards from Creative Capital, Film Arts Foundation, the Pioneer Fund, Texas Filmmaker Production Fund, R&B Fetter Charitable Foundation, and in 2008, a Guggenheim Fellowship. Bill's critically acclaimed film on the history of hobo graffiti, Who is Bozo Texino?, has been screened in over 350 venues worldwide, most recently at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Barry McGee requires little to no introduction. With tonight's audience, you have weathered the gray skies and the freaky cold to be here, and many of you have traveled from afar. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep it short, mentioning only his most recent endeavors and accolades. An avid surfer, and as I understand, something of a homebody, really loves his family and likes to stay close to home, Barry has done us all a great service leaving his home again so soon after returning from his opening in Boston. A mid-career survey, Barry McGee began at Berkeley Museum and Pacific Film Archive of UC Berkeley in August before traveling to ICA Boston, where it just opened on April 6th. There is an impressive, and I think it's 400-page, but I'm questioning my source now, but it's a chunk of book, a beautiful chunk of book, catalog that accompanies Barry's survey exhibition, and you can find a really nice interview article by Carol Kino on the exhibition in the New York Times. There has been a great deal written and many interviews conducted on the work of Barry McGee. His work is represented by Chris Perez of Ratio 3 Gallery in San Francisco and will be debuted in September at Chimon Reed in New York. In addition to solo exhibitions, Barry's work has kept good company through the years, having been included in famed exhibitions such as the 2011 Art in the Streets at MoCA in L.A., the frequently referenced Beautiful Losers, organized by Contemporary Art Center of Cincinnati, as well as the 54th Carnegie International and the 10th Liane Biennale. There is much more to tell, but I promised to keep it brief, so without further delay, please join me in welcoming Barry McGee and Bill Daniel.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Barry, I guess I wasn't paying attention to my Facebook or something because I didn't know you were in town until I saw a rusty grainer go by that with a bottle on it that said, "Bill, I'm here." And then a Burnin' Vernon went by with a martini glass on it and it said, "Fort Worth." And I thought, there's a clue. And there you are. So
you're too kind, Bill. That's a total myth-making there. It's not true. Should we turn off the lights? I think it's better with the lights off, like completely, like
blind. Yeah, we're taking down. We had another.
So as long as we can't see us, it's better. Bill and I were speaking earlier how to run this tonight. I have to this is like really a special night for me because to have Bill Daniel here. He's originally from Texas. I don't know if you guys know that. I just found out. I met him in the very early 90s. He had a roommate that my sister was dating, and he turned me on to so many I don't know how to say it the right way.
Old guys.
Just antisocial behavior, kind of like some things that.
We're going to return to that theme.
When I was young and impressionable,
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Barry's before that meeting at that house on Folsom Street because I'd been kind of tracking graffiti all over San Francisco. I didn't know anybody. I'm just a fan of the work and Barry's work. I didn't know Barry. I just knew Twist and these other little things he would throw up in the corner in Nicaragua. And so when I found out, oh my God, my roommate's cool. Wow, it's like so. Anyway, so the theme tonight is going to be a little open, and it's going to be based in slides, various slides. And rather than, we'll do a formal Q&A at the end if there's time. But if you've got a question or a comment about any of the material or the ideas, rather than raise your hand, just shout it out, just like good old-fashioned country church. And likewise, we'll be interjecting also, and I've got a couple of video things that we'll be dropping in randomly too. So.
As chaotic as possible, we should keep it.
Okay, here's your dealie.
I hate being on stage, you guys. Can I come over here?
You should back up a little bit.
Is it better over here? Do you guys know, I'm going to just start with a couple really quick slides. When I was young, I was always really interested in people that would write inflammatory statements on walls as... No, just as, like, for someone to get out and write something. I didn't do this, actually, either, by the way. But
you can tell it's a girl because the eyes are dotted with circles, right?
There's a lot of information on walls that I learned at an early age. I like the other opinion. You know, there's, like, newspapers that have headlines and... news media that had headlines. This is like pre-internet, all this stuff. But this is for the first Bush that was in office. But I was interested on how it got there and why it got there and who was responsible for doing it at a young age. I was just like always infatuated by it. So this guy on the left, Plato. This is like 85. He had tags all over when I first started. And he's from Oakland, but I knew early on that there'd be like a wall of tags, and he had that silly like little head thing. So I knew to just copy that, like do something that would. That's mine on the left there.
Plato's the black.
Yeah,
one?
Plato's is a black one. Yeah, there. I put.
I saw that you're twisting. So like I don't know, like. 88, 89, 90?
Too long ago. That's all I know. Too long ago. Do you guys know about tagging? Should I go through it at all? About tagging? Does everybody know?
Quick break.
It's just like a really quick way to... It's like writing your name on a wall, basically. It's so simple and primal and satisfying. I still love it to this day. I love it. It competes with all advertising. It competes with everything that's out on the street. So it's like I just feel like it's part of the city. I feel like the health of a city is like how much tagging you see. To me, it feels healthy when I come into a new city and see like stuff all over the place. I'm gonna go through these really fast. Bill's got some great stuff to show.
Oh. Oh, those Those muni trains were amazing.
I'm going to go back for a second. This is how a lot of, in San Francisco, like all the street level stuff, I'll just give a quick primer, like a 101. Like the street level stuff gets painted over, so people start going higher and higher to avoid getting painted over. This is like rudimentary for a lot of people in here. I know that. In San Francisco, they're just buffing everything, so people had to like go to areas where that would take like a crane to like remove it. It's fairly common now. The graffiti is on the freeway underpass there. It's like Cycle and Felon when they were living in San Francisco. Early 90s. You have any questions? It's going to get really crazy in a few minutes. I'm serious. You have to stay with me because it's going to get like...
Cycle was from Philly? Is that right?
Cycle's originally from Connecticut, but he's Connecticut, like Washington. Like in the early 90s, there's all these writers moving like all over the place. So.
I could tell he wasn't.
This is art school graffiti. There's this guy that used to do these dogs. I say it in a nice way, though, because it was... sometimes people just come into the graffiti or stuff. I hate to say, I don't even want to say street. I just like outside, like people are doing stuff outside. I say I don't like street because I don't like street, the word street. It's like really popular right now or was popular, so I just changed it to outside art.
Dog was running all over San Francisco for a while.
Yeah.
They were hilarious. They were popping up in really funny places.
There
was one on the seawall, right?
Yeah, they were everywhere. He would. That's one of the best things about graffiti. They just show up everywhere, seemingly at once too. He would just go with a can of like red and a can of white and just mix on the spot and kind of. I thought it was interesting for like painterly graffiti. I'm gonna just. Are there any questions yet?
Classic.
Okay, how do you distinguish your work and your art from regular gang graffiti?
The thing, gang graffiti is like a media created thing, kind of. It's there's groups of people that do graffiti together that have gang mentality, but I feel like police have a gang mentality too, and like. Politicians have a gang mentality. There's like gangs of all kinds of things that get unruly after a while, you know? Groups of men, basically. It's just like what men do together. I'm serious. Like when there's like six men like that get a little power or like get a little like confidence, like terrible stuff happens. I'm being completely honest.
You're talking about surfing lineup, right?
I'm talking about everything. Like I'm talking about gang graffiti. I'm talking about like politicians like making bad decisions on the behalf of all of Americans. And so it's like it's all a level playing field when you say gang graffiti. It's just like I like it, you know, parts of it. There's other part. Do you guys know Louis? This is guy Louis. He just keeps going. Oh, that's backwards. But he. He's really prominent in the graffiti scene right now. He's been going for like 15 years. Are there more questions? That was a good question. I'm sorry, did I answer it? I'm not sure.
You did. You know, a lot of times when people have preconceived notions about things, or they look at graffiti and they only equate it with a certain genre, it would seem that would create some challenges for your art.
It's so hard to separate like all the different. There's so many like little subcultures within the subculture too. So it's.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, just fire them out.
With the subculture thing, are there any kind of rules, like unspoken rules about if something is done a certain way, you don't paint over it? You know, like, or does anybody know like what is and isn't okay to paint over?
That's a fantastic question. It starts with tags, right? Like the quick, like just like it takes a few seconds for a tag, and then you could go over. There's like these basic rules. You could go over tags with like these throw up things that are just like that's a throw up on there. And then these can go over throw ups because they're a little bit more not advanced, but like more more time consuming. So, I'm really into throw ups because they're so fast and cartoony, and I like the energy of them.
It seems like throw ups are where letter forms morph the first or fastest. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing like it, like throw ups to me. I like the way they look. They just they have like a gesture to them, and that's even like talking in art terms. But I just like there's this thing in San Francisco where all these kids just do throw ups over murals now, like these like murals of. Do you guys have murals here where they just have murals like of a bunch of kids under a rainbow holding hands? We have an excess of them in San Francisco, and there's nothing wrong with them. I'm serious. There's nothing wrong with them. They never bothered me before, but then there's like a lack of space also. So kids naturally figure out a way to paint over things to make it stay there longer. So like for them to fix this mural is like it's going to take some time to fix that. This is Attic. I love Attic. This is what I mean about tags. They just show up overnight. It's like a UFO landing one night. This is better than the internet. This is way better because it's better. It's like the first social networking, like in opposition to other like things that are going on. Are there any more questions? Bill, do you want to do?
Oh, you'd be 40. God,
should we stop now?
One.
Is this a time?
No, keep banging. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, just fire it out.
You know, some of the art, it's one thing to pick a blank wall or something, but the pieces that are on vehicles, when does it cross the line to vandalism?
Oh, it's totally vandalism. I'm not in a funny way. It's completely it's totally reckless vandalism. It's done without permission, so it's and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, but now that U-Haul truck is worth about $30,000.
No, it's not. I know what you're saying. This is someone's property, this truck, but the city wouldn't paint over the property. At one time, they wouldn't paint over, but now they paint over the trucks too. But at one time, they weren't painting over the trucks. So that was the place where people started painting in San Francisco.
What did PKN stand for, right?
I don't know what.
I thought that was your crew, PKN. Okay.
That was someone's crew. are there any? That was a really good question. Did I answer it or did I skip it?
Well, I think for me, it's just I can appreciate certain pieces that are graffiti art and the idea of it being outdoor art and that sort of thing. And your progression is actually moving. You started here because you didn't like the limitations of canvas. And now you're wanting to move, I think, in your age and your stage of life now, onto canvas. And so I think the idea of expressive art in public is one thing, but when it comes to a point where it's beyond expression versus just chaos, I guess. I think that's the balance that I don't quite understand.
This is like the purest it gets, though, I feel like. Like that, this right here is like so pure that anything on canvas is just like an object to sell, you know?
Yes.
And it's an encroachment upon, you know what I mean? I make art for a living. There's no hiding it, but to me the real, that's as real as it gets right there. Like if you want the honest portrayal of something and the best energy and like the most chaotic thing, that's this is covered by a DKNY thing now, the Donna Karan thing, this whole thing. I'm just using for example, like. Go ahead.
With that being said, how was your transition into the hybrid?
I'm still transitioning. I have one foot in and I have one foot out all the time. That's why I'm just showing slides of graffiti. I don't even want to talk about my art at all. I'm not interested. It's no fun talking about art. Well, it's fun. Bill is going to talk about art. Is it time yet, Bill?
No. More of these oldest.
Bill has some great things. I feel like we should show something just to break.
Well, we'll look for a transition.
Okay, I'll find a transition.
The essence of name writing.
Look at how awesome. Do you guys love that? I love this. Look at the.
Uh-huh.
This is so. It's great. That's. That's this kid, Ty. He passed away.
I have a quick question.
Yeah, just fire it out.
What are, like, are there, like, specific styles, like, depending on the region? And if so, what are they?
Yeah, there are. That's a good point. But there used to be more really distinct, like, distinctive, like, city by city, like Philadelphia and, like, D.C. and San Francisco. But now, with the internet, it's all, like, just kind of similar.
Yeah. When you came back from Brazil, you came back with some styles we hadn't seen.
Yeah, styles that was, people just take styles is, I think, what happens. I take everything I see. Oh, this is just to give you an idea what San Francisco is like, right? No, this is a really typical San Francisco situation here. These are things that they try to get rid of in San. The homeless population and graffiti are two of the main things that they try to get rid of in San Francisco.
Can you talk about your use of your portrait to you of people that you see on the street? Is that accurate?
When I was younger, I used to think about the. Well, when you're out, I'm sure there's like a lot of these kids in this room know when you're out at like 2 a.m. or like whatever you're doing your thing, sometimes you have to run and you find yourself in bushes or in encampments of homeless people, and they're the most, well, I mean, there's just people that are out at that same time, and they're like the community that will take you in a second.
I think. You brought them into museums with your portraits, and
I don't know if I want to bring them. I don't know what I was doing. I was just doing what I was. It's something I did when I was young. I feel like I thought it had like a lot of meaning and weight, but it's just like in hindsight, I don't. Oh, I have a quick thing about here. This I see like to most even adults now, because there's graffiti's been around for so long. But this wall is like any 14-year-old kid in New York probably knows the history here. Like like that JA on the right hand side, and that's a Giz in the middle, and Ketch and RN. Like these are all like someone's falling asleep, you guys. I understand. I'm not going to talk anymore. We'll just do some time. How awesome is that? Look at that.
Oh,
I love
God.
That.
Oh.
That started out as a small throw up, and then it just got bigger and bigger. He just kept on going back and painting over it.
So you said the city actually paints over graffiti that's on trucks now? Like the city
yeah.
Has it, not the truck owners?
No, they have this graffiti paint thing where they just paint. You just sign up, and they just come and paint out your truck now. So, but it was for a while. There was like one of the funnest things going in San. Obviously, look at how fun this looks. It was. Here?
Yes.
That was fantastic. I know what's going on. It all happens on the trains here and stuff like that, and on the track sides. It's really undercover. I feel like a little bit. Don't you think? Does anyone know? But someone probably knows better than I do. But I just feel like
if you crawl a little bit here, you scratch just a tiny bit underneath the surface. There's a lot of stuff going on here, but it's covert. I feel like, which is even more interesting. So.
It's not. Don't you think? Is it? Am I wrong? I think I'm wrong, huh?
No, you're not.
Who's an authority here? We need an authority figure up here like right now. So you guys, we wanted our own truck, so we got our own truck, because this is when they were painting over all the trucks, and I was like, I'm gonna just to turn my van into a bigger truck. And it was called Project Van, and I was curious how far the city would, like, how long it would take them to paint over things or get upset with it. And they started breaking windows, and they started stabbing the tires. It was always on this Frio overpass where you could see.
Yeah.
But that's Nancy Reagan on one of them. But they eventually towed it away. They weren't. I'm just interested how far you could push things in a city sometimes. I mean, it's weird. Like billboards get a like green light, and do you guys wrap advertising on the buses here yet and things like that? Like, how does that get a free pass, but, like this stuff just gets, like, obliterated? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, people obsess, like, we got to get rid of this. And then there's, like, a billboard over there, like, selling.
Yeah.
a naked woman selling, drinking a beer, trying to sell beer, which is totally fine. You know, it's like, to me, that's why I still stand behind graffiti so strongly, because it's like, it's no worse than any. I feel like it's better. If it's someone's name, it's just someone's name. It's not. There's no product to sell. There's just his name. That's it. You're not going to the store going, oh, why am I buying this 62-pack of beer with a naked woman on it? Yeah. I don't know.
A lot of photographs of Grimio. Is that someone that you do throw-ups with, or someone?
At one time I did. He's his own creature now, for sure. You know how that happens when you just like see someone's energy from far away, and you're like, whoa, that kid's like, he's going for it. And then when you get too close, you're just like, whoa, I gotta get back from this fire, because this thing's I'm gonna get scalded really bad. So.
There is some of your
favorite
writers, or like people that you love.
I like MQ. I never painted with them. I've never done it. But he's all over the.
He also writes Gun and Woe.
Yeah.
There's like a. He's like a. Him and JA are like superhero. Like they're just like been doing graffiti for like 30 years straight. Like just, and they fight each other too. They just go over each other, like in the. Oh, Phil, you should put something on just to. Wait, let me. I'll get to an area. I know. I could get to an area.
Oh, she's pretty busy.
Do you guys ever do this where they paint on the glass backwards? You break into the building or go into an abandoned building and then.
That's hard. Did you practice backwards?
Setup did it wrong. He did his. You have to do your outline first and then fill it in.
That's bad.
The one on the left there is done wrong. This is Revoke. This is when people are trying to like get their graffiti off the. Off the buffing areas. Next.
Yeah.
Oh, these aren't me, but you do it with rollers and stuff now? Rollers and neat. Yeah, next is from. Yeah. He passed away a little while ago. But yeah, these kids in Houston are amazing. Next and Busy. They're. I have a strong memory of these kids. This is like San Francisco. Do you know the Leeds shoes? They used to have like these. Bill should talk about it. I don't.
Yeah, well, yeah. Mission Street used to have real stores on it, and then it started all kind of dying because they were waiting to redevelop it, and so Leeds shoe store was there empty. And so it had one of those alcoves, you know, those old-fashioned alcoves, so the door would be set back. And so bands started setting up and doing outlaw shows there, and they called them Live at Leeds, just like the record.
It was fantastic,
so
yeah.
I think one of the interesting about all this, that at the same time graffiti is happening in this way in the city, all these other subcultures are happening and taking space in a similar way, like Iggy's band and all his friends' bands that would play at Leeds, and they would just show up with a generator. One time at this place, they were taking electricity for somebody's apartment across the street, and so they had an extension cord across Mission Street with buses and everything. And cops showed up, and they're kind of just watching it and wondering what to do. And the extension cord comes apart, and the band stops, and the cop who's standing right in front of it just reaches over and plugs the cord back in. So, I don't know. I think in the chaos of the city, I don't know. People have an opportunity to be good.
Yeah, I like, and there was like the, they're challenging the venue at that point too. It's just like, why do people even have to pay to go? We'll just start playing outside and bring ourselves to the people, which is, I thought was, they still do these generator shows all over San Francisco. I like the format where it's just, it's not about the location or anything anymore. It's about the people being into whatever the bands are doing and seeing them for free play outside. And then we had a mayor that just. Oh, I have a quick thing here. That's Revoke that did the went over the lead sign. He's right-handed, for sure. not too long after this guy Bill Riley, or no, Clinton Riley was running for mayor, he just took over the whole building. So it's. I mean, they always talk about graffiti destroying and damaging things, but it's usually this something like this happens.
Nice. Oh, Doug.
Oh, is this a good place to show something different?
No, keep going.
Okay, this is graffiti in 1984 or 5.
Oh,
Doug.
Bay Area, right?
Yeah. Do they hand out paint here, like anti-graffiti paint? They do this thing in San Francisco, like on Thursday, that you back your van up to this this place, and they give out, they call it anti-graffiti paint. It's just like all this house paint dumped together, and you could go out and paint over graffiti, but all these kids like line up, and they just take the paint and start using it.
Nice guy.
Yeah, there's lots of things you could do with anti-graffiti paint.
Nice.
We already did that one. I think there's like 700 more slides. This might be a good.
Let's cue a video.
Bill has
a solo artist. Kind of transition us into trains.
Yeah, transition it for sure. Do you guys know about trains? Everyone here knows about trains because.
And all that happened because people couldn't paint on subways anymore. And then people realized, if you paint on a freight train, you're not citywide, you're nationwide. So in the early 90s, when I first started seeing any evidence of that, let's have the solo artist video. Okay. yeah. Solar artist actually lived in Fort Worth for a while, and actually he came to Fort Worth from the Bronx, and he was an aerosol writer at that point and made a transition into doing what's called streaks. So these smaller drawings that are done with Tex Goth might be here, are done with little oil-based sticks that train workers used to use. But a lot of basically, at this time, people started kind of transitioning from aerosol to doing this. There's Iowa Blackie. He was voted King of the Hobos at Britt, Iowa. I think that's it. Maybe there's some more after this. A couple more beauties. I was always a fan of graffiti just by its proximity to punk rock. And although I was living in Dallas where there really wasn't any graffiti, but there were freight trains, and I started seeing this stuff in 1983, living at 500 Exposition, and there used to be a freight line right through there, the Santa Fe Yards. And so I saw this stuff, and oh my God, it's like graffiti, except it's hobos. Turns out it's also rail workers, too. And it kind of led me to get obsessed and make a movie. And why don't we watch one of these clips? Barry, do you have anything to say about train graffiti?
I love watching this right now. This is my favorite
monikers
thing. It's like relaxing.
Okay.
The streets are really stressful. This is like so relaxing to me.
Let's go ahead and see.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
The jam video, Bozo Texino.
Trains are relaxing.
So I started riding on trains, and without the aid of common sense or the internet, started actually finding some of these.
I know it.
some of these guys who were doing it. And early on, Bozo Texino was a name that just kind of grabbed me. I don't know why, but it just seemed kind of iconic. And the drawing, something about that infinity-shaped hat. Like, all of graffiti is boiled down to these really essential shapes that I think work on you in a kind of a psychological or really basic way. And something about the name Bozo Texino, I didn't know there was such a history behind it, but as it turns out...
See, that used to be a nickname, and it was used a whole lot.
We just come over the hill, we'll be going into Cheyenne in about 10 minutes.
John, can you bring it up a bit?
It's a dance number. You want to make sure you're two-stepping.
First started seeing 1978.
I have no idea.
Well, there was a car man that quit smoking out of Lafayette, I think, Lafayette, Louisiana. Whenever you want a cigarette, you draw a picture of the car. Take a light off smoking.
And we got a bozo here, but he just goes by bozo, he's an engineer. And he doesn't autograph anything, only. We got autographs, anything. Mainline Matt. He's pretty notorious.
Well, I know for a fact his engineer named Dave John McKinley out of San Antonio, Texas, worked for the Missouri Pacific Railroad down there. And he'd drawn it for a number of years. Also, his bozo on the Raven before that.
A lot of people don't know this border. They don't believe you when you tell them some of this stuff. You know, they don't use to lie about it.
Bozo Texino, he's a bull that rides that whole line and seen his handle. But unfortunately, I've never had the pleasure of meeting him. I don't recall.
Who's Bozo Texino? I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, he's from Houston, Texas. He signed his name on side of Rockwell, but he's a railroad worker. He does the switching of air hoses together.
I'm sure there's a story behind it. Waterbed Lou is one I would really like to know. I'll bet you that it's some kind of story. Most all railroad men have nicknames. There's a reason behind it.
So in a sense, this kind of graffiti is different from urban aerosol graffiti, but maybe not so much.
It's great. I love it.
It's funny, in talking to these old guys, especially Grandpa, we'll meet him in a second. Interviewing him, I recognized his impulse was the same as any 14-year-old urban kid, even though he was 80 years old and from Pearland, Texas, and worked in the oil field all his life. But this impulse to, you know, make marks was just exactly the same. Let's watch that, the grandpa. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure at different times people wonder why. Who marks it? No. And then they'll wonder why and all that other crap. Wonder why that damn fool spends time doing that when he could be doing something else. They would be right, you know. Why would so-and-so waste that much time doing it? To me, it used to be if you mark a car, it's on both sides. And then here goes one of the old bozos, got it on both sides, so either side they can see it. It's silly to some people.
Imagine that.
I run locomotive cranes, that was my main job, and switch engines. So I worked on the railroad per se, I guess that's the way you put it.
And just a stupid idea. I want to keep my eyes closed.
I got to play with it pretty young. I'm going to stay around 5 because I was learning. Like I said, my dad was pretty interested in the name and it kind of stuck with me. That was about 1919 or 1920.
My bad. Shit. I guess that ain't too bad.
I had one boss I could come a long time to quit talking about the car. So I wouldn't be flying in a kayak, you know.
I don't know.
I don't want to stop. Should we keep going?
No, there's your clips. Yeah. What do you think about?
I feel lucky to sit by Bill Daniel. When were you doing this? This is before...
This was like 91, 92, something like that.
It's before anyone was even thinking about where these guys were. Yeah.
But I've been looking for this guy for like 6 years. And, you know, how do you find somebody without the internet? We use the newspaper. So a buddy of mine was working for the paper in Houston. And so I did a story. And they printed my address in San Francisco. And I got all these letters from people in Houston going like, oh, I'd always wondered about that. If you find him, let me know. You know, or one guy. In 1969, I saw a man in a green 59 Chevy pickup on the South Belt Terminal Yards doing this drawing. I'd love to meet him if you find him. And like the 35th letter I got was Grandpa. I said, well, Bill, you know, Vaughn said if I didn't write to you, he would. So it was just pure luck. It was insane that I found him.
That's that was in Texas.
Yeah, outside of Houston. I had an idea he was from Houston because all these cars would come out of there with one on every single car.
This is like some of the most prolific. We're all out of Texas too. Anything?
There was something going on here. There's
something
definitely something
like extreme
going on down here with the Rambler, Dennis of Houston. Just tons of them came out of Texas.
Do they use the oil sticks a lot on the train cars? Is that kind of typical to use that material as opposed to paint, or both?
Just those markers. They're oil-based markers that were designed to mark on steel for welders or car repair or switchmen, you know, will mark, you know, tell what the deal is with the car.
You know what I love about it, too, is that it's never, like, it's still what it is. It never... has been exploited like in the media or like used for a Mountain Dew commercial. It's just like, it's so pure still. It's not like a...
Actually, believe it or not, a local grocery chain came out with a coffee called Bozo Texino.
I'll buy it.
Got the logo on it.
I'll buy that.
Central Market. It's kind of hilarious. I was dreading that day because I always thought, God, there's going to be Bozo Texino designer jeans. You know, Shepherd Fairey will do it.
Yeah, Shepherd will do it.
But Central Market beat him to the punch with coffee. It's like, oh, that's cool. You know, it's called Coffee Joe or Bozo Joe or something like that. But it's definitely the drawing.
I think we should use Bill while we're still here because he has a vast network of great things. Look at this. he has other things
that are
way more interesting than stuff on the street.
We got another deal. Oh, we're going to open it up to a Q&A here at the end, and we're kind of getting there. You want to go to Q&A here in a minute?
Let's keep going. Let's not even pretend like there's no Q&A.
Okay, let's do one. Okay, so all this, this has to do with graffiti. All this is happening outside the art world, and there's very few places where these two worlds intersect. And to my mind, Barry McGee is one of the most interesting and profound places where these two things come together. And I'm going to just blow smoke up your ass for a second just because I'm a complete fan. But you managed to keep these two impossible things together and did amazing things. But I'll stop talking about that now.
It's not possible.
Colossus of Rhodes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, great.
A guy grew up in Arkansas, third generation railroader, went to art school, listened to the Beatles, read the Beats, wanted to be an artist, but had to kind of come home and basically be a third generation railroader and, you know, have a mortgage and whole deal. So really his only outlet was mail art. He was involved in the kind of Fluxus practice of mail art. He went to art school. And then drawing on trains. And he invented a kind of vocabulary, a syntax of train graffiti that was super influential. And we've got a short clip of him made in 1976 by William Eggleston's studio assistant. Yeah, if you need some art credibility there.
Since November 1971, I have been involved in a dubious activity of fixing images to the boxcars and other rolling stock of North American railroads.
Speed is the thing. Get them back to the door. They're at work today. You might say it's an expression that they can't buy all my time.
At first, approached desultorily, incidentally, the process of drawing with wax crayons and character of comic proportions, who began to take on the aspects of a legend in the fraternity of railroaders, began to reveal the possibility of the ideas involved. So, viewing the railroad system as a network for distributing the image, it was pared down to a few simple lines for quick application and easy recognition.
start to rap about the origin of this article. This form of art writing started, I don't know when, but the one that got the attention was in the period of the 30s, and he had some, got some media attention.
Yeah, Colossus. So that was him in 76, and he's still around and still doing a new version of that drawing.
So, how many times has he written that?
God, man, yeah. He started in 1971, yeah, right.
Longevity, you guys. So I always tell the kids that are starting, try to go longevity. Mm-hmm. It's always an important thing to do.
He did. When he was doing that drawing, which was Gypsy Sphinx was the name of that drawing, he started a numbering thing, and then he would sometimes, like, just a serial count, and then he started dating them. And so he did all these kind of, like, formal things, and then he said, God, this is too boring. I'll just come up with one name, and he came up with Colossus of Rhodes, and that's... He does a serial tag, though. He'll throw other little things underneath it, and I think that's influenced a lot of people of this idea of coming up with always another little... Did that exist in urban graffiti, like the serial zinger on the bottom there?
Yeah.
I always think that was Buzz's.
Yeah, I think that's
thing.
It.
You know what I mean?
I think, you know, an interest, yeah, there's an interest, the kids respect, like, these things, too, which is, like, you'll be in a train, like, young kids will be in a train yard, and they'll see these things. For the most part, they respect the thing that was first on there, too. Unless it's, like, pitch dark, and you just blaze right over it, but... It's interesting how those two worlds are, like, they totally exist, like, these weird, I mean, like, nationwide, too, somehow it functions. I know, you know, they get obliterated, like, left and right, though, too, but
yeah,
there is some pecking order where people try to keep it.
Uh-huh. Sometimes you see these giant aerosol burners that go all the way down the car, these huge letters, and then right at the end, there'll be a little outline like this where there'll be like a Herbie drawing from 1976 that they saw, and they make their letters, you know, kind of, you know, give it a relief there. Yeah. Let's open up to Q&A. You want to? Or you got anything, another tray, or what do you feel like?
What time are we at? Should we just... we're supposed to be answering, throwing out questions the whole time.
Yeah, what... John, why don't you...
People are yawning.
Yeah, we got to open it up.
People in the back are leaving.
Okay, let's... Actually, let's...
We should keep the lights down, though, don't you think?
Yeah, cue the video. Cue the... that Bledsoe video with the audio off.
Let's have more visuals going.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not that one. Sketches in Maine. We'll just see that whole thing because it's beautiful. Oh, my God. You're going to see some beautiful rolling stock. Okay. Questions?
How many times have you been busted?
Is that for you, Bill? That's for Bill, right?
Twice. You, Barry?
Me? I've been busted. Yeah. I've been busted. It sucks. Anyone that's been busted knows that you get a couple of days to think about what you did. A couple of days, and you
didn't work, did it?
Stop for a couple of weeks, and then yeah. But yeah, there's deterrence out there for sure. But I think if there wasn't a deterrent, no one would do it though either. So it's like it balances on both those things: the thrill of doing it or getting away with something. I'm talking as a 47-year-old man. I don't do it anymore. But there's moments when I still write on things by accident.
Or influences, like I know some street artists, they have influence. They're influenced by, say, the media or politics or so on. Did you have any like particular thing that you? Particular message that you wanted to get out there, or was it just you were trying to get your art out there?
At first I thought it was art, because I started in the like in 84, I thought we were doing art, you know, with spray paint. I was like, yeah, we're doing, let's go do some art. You know, in the most naive sense, like writing my name all over was art too. So that's before I knew what art was though too. So it was, I'm not sure if I answered. There's no difference at all. There's absolutely no difference. It's like, I think this is, if there was a pure art that was just for people's sake, I think the stuff that's outside is that. Once it goes indoors and is on a canvas or it becomes a commodity, you know, it's a whole nother. I'm saying that as someone that sells artwork too. So
yeah, but I think that's why your work is good, because it's fun inside. It's still an adventure, you know.
It's only an adventure because you're here, though, I think. or else I'd have to talk about my art, and then everyone would have cleared out already by now, for sure. Don't you think? I don't. You guys, I'm not. I'm. These are two. These are older men. These are old guys here. You could say there's two old guys up here talking about graffiti, and there's people in the audience that know way better than I do.
Somebody sent me an email a couple of weeks ago. She's a writer and writer also. Hey, Bill. Yes. And she asked me to sound off on this concept she has of literary citizenship. What is literary citizenship? So I was like writing about how I try to do my poetry and writing community and to create community. So is there such a term as visual citizenship? Is this something that might embody that, or be a way of, an exemplar of visual citizenship, where you're taking up space, you're in the public realm, you're unmediated, you're fresh, unpermitted, and free. What do you? I mean, what does that make you think? Does that make you?
Can we change the name of whatever they call it? Can they change street art to unsanctioned? I don't.
Visual citizenship.
Visual citizenship. That has a much better tone. I agree.
As a U.S. as a U.S. person,
I feel like
artistically,
it's our right to do that. I honestly feel like it's part of being a human. Is that you exist and you existed at this time and you did something that was pure from your soul. I don't know. I'm not sure. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing it, and then sometimes when I'm in galleries a lot, then I'm just like, this is awful. It's like just become like a parody of something, you know. So it's a.
Do you find similarities with two of like your main leisurely activities, like whether it's outdoor art or out or surfing, and both something that people sometimes associate with youth, but when you go out surfing, the old dudes can rip just as hard as the young kids, and if not more, and really lead the pack and kind of teach people kind of how to do things without even speaking. Does that maybe make sense? I'm just curious what
I love that. I love that. That was perfect.
What your emotions are when you're creating art and when you're surfing, because there are things that you can do by yourself or you can do it with friends. You know, like they say, always use the buddy system when you're surfing. You kind of got to use that when you're out hitting the yards too, or any other sort of thing. But it's still independent and it's very individual, like the type of carve you're going to take on a wave or what you're going to decide to be your moniker tag or whatnot. Are those are definite connections, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely, 100%.
I did have a question
gonna,
on here. Get some.
Are you
going to
take
questions.
Me surfing? I've been, yeah. I went. I surfed in front of the Octagon House in off of
Freeport, Surfside.
Surfside,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you guys know Toby Camp? He's in Houston. He's a. Is he still at?
He's still at the camp.
Yeah. Oh, he's at the Menil now. He took me surfing one time when I was. It was great surf. You got, are we going surfing? Who was that person?
Well, here's a question for you. Longboard, single fin or multi fin? What do you like?
It's too. I we're too far away from the water to talk about that.
About that notion that you mentioned earlier about primal, and maybe even the relationship between the work that's being done outdoors and that primal instinct, and then also just like this guy was saying, that need to connect. I mean, to me, the art in the building or outside is really all about our need to connect.
That's a very good point. It is and feeling community also.
Do you have kids, and if you do you let them draw on the walls at home?
Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I wish it was that simple. Yeah.
There's so many like laws and restraints in between that like mess everything up. For people that are a little bit sloppy, they get arrested and then they have to do time and it gets messed up.
Is that part of it, though?
I think it would be no fun if it was legal though either. That's like some weird thing in America. Don't you think there's like this weird spirit where you're just like, oh, we're just gonna go ahead and blaze a trail here and just we're gonna do this regardless of laws and what people think. And I like parts of it too. I don't. It is about connecting, though, and it's so simple. You know, the basic. Someone had a question way back there.
I was asking if you had kids and if they could draw on the walls at home.
I do have. I have a daughter. She's 11, and she cannot draw on the walls at all.
I've seen her draw on some walls. She's really good.
There's no way. She's just like, no way. I don't want her to.
I have a question. If I understand you correctly, in your sense of this kind of a link with community when you do the graffiti artwork, are you familiar with how Fort Worth deals with graffiti here?
No, I'm curious. Will you tell me? I'm curious.
Sure. I mean, it's like graffiti in training, kids in training. What they do is when they see something that's painted, say, under an underpass, and my kids have actually taken part in this quote-unquote solution, what the city does is they come by with sky blue paint, and they'll paint over the underpass where the graffiti existed. And then they go to a high school or elementary school or a middle school, and they'll say, who wants to come and paint approved images on this sky blue paint that we have on this underpass? So in a way, the kids are... And it's a sense of community, because the kids feel they're doing something for the community by improving, but basically they're drawing their approved images on the walls. You know, it'll be a longhorn, it'll be a dog, or a fire truck, or a policeman's badge. You'll see, you cannot write your name. It has to be approved image. But it's like little graffiti artists in training, in a sense. But at the same time, you keep talking about a sense of community, and to me, you know, and yet you make some comments that, you know, why does it have to be illegal? It seems to me that in a sense, here in Fort Worth, they've got a good solution in that it's still a sense of community in bringing the kids together to, in their eyes, beautify the city, the underpass.
Yeah.
But they're basically graffitiing over disapproved graffiti, you know, for lack of a better term.
It's weird, huh?
So if you drive around...
Somebody in one advertised too, you know. I think that's what it ends up. I think it's a lot cheaper just to let
it go.
A lot. I think if someone asks me like in city planning or like in from city hall, they should just have areas that are just kind of free zones. It works in Europe a lot of, you know? I mean, their trains get hit. Everything gets hit there a lot, but they still have areas that just people can just, you know what I mean? Like, just do stuff where it's not a bad thing. I don't know what everyone's so scared about. It's like...
So if you have a free zone and you endorse that, is that still cool?
Yes, it's totally cool, for sure. I mean, It's like it's no different than what any kid's learning in school already. It's all just color, shape, and it's just the materials that is happens to be spray paint. It's not there's I don't know how it became like this thing that older people my age obsess on getting rid of. It's a weird thing. You know, like this is plainly wrong. Our society's out of control. We got to paint over this. It's like such a weird. I don't know how that happened. You know, somewhere along the like, to me, it's odd that happened. When they just have like a billboards or your buses are wrapped with Coca-Cola ads, and that's fine. That's you know, and you still have to pay to get on the bus. You know, it's not like a free bus. Like. I feel like if Coca-Cola is going to wrap a whole bus with their ad, the bus should be free, you know? It should be free. There should be free Cokes on the bus. I'm serious. Like, really, like, take it. Like, they're going to take it all the way there, you know? Right now, they have the ad on the bus. You have to look at it. You have to pay to get on the bus, and there's no Cokes on the bus. What? It's not... Graffiti writers are way more giving. They just give. They just like that's anyone in this room are most graffiti because they think they're doing the most amazing thing in the world. They're just like, why do you keep painting over me? I'm just like, you know, it's just like there's better solutions. I feel like you know to me as a older man.
A large gripe with graffiti is that it accumulates so much noise, like a visual noise.
I know.
It's interesting. There's a bombardment of media images at all times.
Completely.
Why are these people so bent on taking away something that's pure, like graffiti comes from a mass amount of people instead of a boardroom approved?
Thank you.
Like, this is what we're going to give people, and we're going to give them a ticker on top of that, and the time, and the weather, and the commercial every 5 minutes. It's a tornado of images that just keep on bombarding all of us, and the second we want to try and express ourselves, why is that? Why do you think that they keep wanting to bring us down?
I think it competes with their space, doesn't it? A lot of it. If you could just focus on a billboard or an advertisement at a bus stop without the tags on it, and the advertisers are happy, the transit authority is getting their money. I think it's like a fine oiled machine a lot of times. Don't you think, Bill? I don't know. He knows more, I feel like, than I know.
No, it's
what do you guys say? There's a lot of kids in here what do you guys think?
I don't know.
I'm old, but I'll get No, I think in our community, and this is just the way I've seen, but that when they start doing graffiti on the sides of the walls of viaducts or, you know, overheads and whatever. They do them on the columns and the sides more than going up on it. I think they were concerned here about gangland graffiti. And that's how we became involved when we had to paint over it and whitewash it.
I think anybody who's in a gang running drugs and guns, the last thing they want to do is call attention to themselves, right? The real criminals are invisible.
Yeah.
But when does graffiti, how do you imagine, when do you say graffiti is art or art is graffiti? Because the trains that I see going down the tracks in Fort Worth, I think some of it is beautiful. It's not just writing like that. I mean, they've taken the time, as you say, to spray or whatever. It's really neat. It's like a lot of the design work that was in yours, you know, in California.
We need you. Will you?
I mean, how can we say this is or this isn't? And, you know, so many people, perhaps not the younger generation, but they want to keyhole something as to this is this, this is that.
I think it just needs to let it flourish. Isn't that funny?
For a little bit. Let it... In my honest opinion, just it's not hurting anyone, for sure. No one's getting hurt.
But isn't the suppression of the art form, isn't that part of the excitement of it?
Of course it is.
I know, it's so basic. It's so dumb, too, though. It's like, well, I did it. It was illegal, and I got away with it. It's a big part of it. It's like if they legalize pot, too. It's the same thing. I don't know. Was ever going to stop smoking pot? Or is it... It's a weird thing to think about, right? I don't...
I'm actually a little interested in hearing about what it was like, I guess, when you were paying when you were young, how competitive it was. Because I know Fort Worth, a lot of the crews have a lot of beef because it's so competitive.
They're boys, that's why. That's the problem. Again, there's too many boys involved.
I agree.
And you would think there would be more, it would, you know, graffiti, you don't know who's doing what in an idea, you don't know who's doing, you're not supposed to know who's doing anything because it's anonymous and it's done.
It's not like that at Fort Worth.
I know, how's
it's
it?
The internet.
I hate
the
internet.
Too many personal issues.
I know. I'm sorry.
I don't know what.
I
don't want to sound like that old person talking about how it was back then, but it was more relaxed for sure. Yeah.
I feel like it seems like then everyone was all about helping each other out. Everyone was just way more laid back. Now it's not like that. Everything's highly competitive.
And now, what happened?
What?
So I think different scenes in different places go through different stages, too. Sometimes you come to a place where things are just getting started or things happen to be chill. But the internet does kind of make everything happen at the same time, though.
And you have to think of San Francisco. Have you been to San Francisco, too? San Francisco is like that. It's very loose. I don't know how to say it. It's just we had... There's transgender writer. There's just like every... There's no... No one's. I can't think of a more loose graffiti scene. Actually, New York got loose too, like with the Iraq crew. There was it.
Is Oakland just as loose as San Francisco?
Where is that?
Is Oakland just as loose as San Francisco?
Yeah, Oakland's hit rock bottom, so they don't have any money to paint over graffiti. So. It's actually flourishing. It's like a. It's amazing there, Oakland, right now. Like a lot of artists all moved from San Francisco to Oakland, and it's like one of the most dynamic cities. There in Detroit, actually, Detroit is amazing right now too. They're just like leveling neighborhoods and just growing crops, and I like something's happening. I'm not sure it happens. You know right away when graffiti is like kind of dominating a city that something's happening. In an interesting way.
What's your favorite city?
I like DFW. for the letters. I was really into that. It's weird. We really got into DFW. I had some friends. We just, I don't know what happened. We got into DFW. I like Philadelphia a lot. And, yeah, it has like Bill's films. There's like a really specific writing style there that just is there, and it doesn't go out of Philadelphia, and it hasn't been co-opted into like any like fine art or anything weird. It's just it exists on the streets in this really interesting way there. Like the hand style and everything is really.
Let's just do one more question and
look at Bill. Bill takes control.
Gary, so I know you've been to Europe, and I know that you've seen graffiti on ancient buildings and alleyways in Barcelona and Madrid. How do you feel about that? Is anything sacred?
Is anything sacred?
Is any architecture sacred? I know that you've seen it, I've seen it when you go to Europe. How do you feel about that?
Some of the most rowdy graffiti is in Europe right now. They'll blast over anything.
Yeah.
And I secretly giggle about it because it's just paint on top of it. You know, nothing's ever. They always say it's like $350,000 worth of damage, but it comes right off with like a power blaster. It's not like a. You know what I mean? It's not... It's, I like the act. The act is what I like.
Yeah.
What do you think of it? I know you see a lot. It's... There, it's when the state started slowing down in graffiti, the Europe took up all the slack, and then the state started looking to Europe to see what they were doing, and then took it back. Kind of is what happened.
Oh, I love seeing it when I'm on a train, and there's just a wall of graffiti. You know, as you're coming into a city, but when you're in a city and you're walking down the, you know, 700, 800, 900 year old alleyways, I admit I do get upset. Yeah.
I sometimes it's weird how I think I'm missing something. Even like in its most like radical ugly thing on a beautiful building, I still secretly like I applaud it for some reason. Just because someone's just like is fed up and went outside and did something rather than sitting in front of a computer or like in front of a TV, they just went out and like. I just feel like they're living. So they're living a life, and they're going to have stories, and I know someone's going to have to clean it up eventually, but I secretly love it. I don't know why. It's like they talk about radical art and like really like radical movements in art, but I think the most radical thing is usually is what a lot of the stuff that I see outside is, and what the kids are doing is like the most interesting.
To me,
should we take one more?